Hello class, as far as the subject of hospital operation is concerned, we have seen multiple things earlier and today we are going to learn two main topics in this chapter, and that is teaching and medical research. Well, most of the hospitals which are teaching hospitals, where the medical students, nurses, physiotherapists, etc. are learning and doing their degree courses or the certificate courses, etc., are recognized all over the world and they are doing wonders for medical field. We have seen many of the researches which have been done and many of the new treatments which have been tried on. The patients in the teaching hospitals have done wonders for medical field as far as the treatment, the preventive aspect, and the management of the patients is concerned. And that is why let us learn a little more about it today. As far as the teaching hospitals in Bombay are concerned, you know, there are hospitals like Nair Hospital, KEM Hospital, Sion Hospital, JJ Hospital, Cooper Hospital, etc. All over India, we have got multiple teaching hospitals where medical colleges are attached and MBBS courses and the postgraduate courses are being run. So, let us see who all people are there in the teaching hospitals and what are they learning and what they are doing, because that is going to give us a lot more information regarding the patient, how they are getting the disease by taking a proper detailed history systematically, what investigations are being done, what treatment is being given, what is the outcome of this. So various aspects of this patient's treatment, as well as hospital being an outreach of the community, where even the mobile vans from hospitals are going in the community to take care of them outside as well as in the OPD, is going to help the doctors, nurses, paramedical people to learn more about the patients, more about the community health, more about why they are getting the disease, what are the risk factors, etc. So all these things are going to help us in developing the medical field and the treatment of the patients. So as far as the teaching hospital is concerned, these are various people who are working in the teaching hospital. Well, the first and foremost here we can see it's a resident physician, which is the pillar of the hospital. The resident physician remains in the hospital 24/7 as per their duty schedule usually. And they are the main people who are going to take day-to-day treatment of the patients who are indoor patients. They even learn how to collect the blood, because in the emergency, there is nobody else to collect the blood at times. At internship level as well as at houseman post also, they have been doing this. And then even some of them may be learning how to check the blood grouping and basic complete blood count and urine, etc. Then comes chief resident physician. Now, chief resident physician is one who has already worked as a houseman for 1 or 2 years, and who has been promoted as the chief resident physician. He has better expertise than the houseman, who takes his advice as and when needed. He takes care of all the patients admitted in the ward and he reports to the consultants, who may be full-time consultants or honorary consultants who are there in the hospital. And there are hospitalists, which are the consultants, or the it can be administration people who are looking after the treatment of the patients, as well as they may be looking after even the administrative part of the hospital. Then comes nurse practitioner. Now, the nurse practitioners are those practitioners who are into nursing profession. So they have taken the degree of nursing. And the chief of the nurses is known as matron, who is going to look after the nursing profession in the whole of the hospital. In collaboration with the hospital administrator, they are going to look after the hospital as a whole. So they are very important people to run the hospital and take care of all the patients who are admitted in the hospital, as well as in the OPD when the patients are coming, and casualty also when they are coming. These matrons and the consultants and all are responsible for taking care of the patients. Then comes registered nurse. Now, a registered nurse is one who has done BSc nursing and who has been registered under nursing council, and they are treating the patients in various ways. Some of them may be in pediatric ward, gynec ward, wherever they are. And based on the ward in which they are practicing, or they may be rotated from one ward to the other, right from casualty to the operation theater to all the indoor wards as well, and even in physiotherapy clinic, occupational health therapy clinic, etc. And based on the requirement, they are going to work as a nurse. They are going to nurture the patients. They are going to do various kinds of jobs which comes under their roles and responsibilities. Then comes licensed practical nurse. Now, these may be GNMs or ANMs, etc. They are student nurses also, because there is a nursing college within the teaching hospital many times. So even they are helping the registered nurse and taking care of the patients. Similarly, there are other physician's assistants who help the physician, those who are resident physician, chief resident physician, or the consultants and all. They may be, there may be a psychologist, there may be a dietitian who is going to look after the diet of the patient and help the consultant in achieving the results as a team. For example, if a patient is diabetic, the consultant who is a dietitian or a nutritionist, he or she is going to take care of the diet of the patient. They are going to advise what is to be given, what not to be given, what is to be given in restricted amount, and input-output chart, etc. They are going to look after. And this is the way the physician's assistants, in the form of the interns who are the medical professionals who have just finished their third MBBS, or the physiotherapist, the occupational health therapist, it can be dietitian, it can be psychologist who is coming from MSW cadre, who has done MSW from institute like Tata Institute of Social Science or SNDT, etc., and who are going to look after even the CSR activity of the hospital, as well as they are going to counsel the patients and help the patients if they are financially not well through some donations, etc. And they are going to see to it that the patient gets the right treatment, even though the patient may not be able to afford that treatment. Similarly, there is a healthcare team who is the full team which is going to take care of the patient's welfare. And this team comprises of a variety of allied healthcare professionals working in a variety of fields, and the specialists are trained in areas such as the phlebologists, that is those who are drawing the blood, then for those who are helping in diagnostic scans like CT scan and MRI scan, and those who are performing the laboratory tests for the pathological samples of the patients like blood, urine, etc., stool, etc., and those who are regulating even the dietary needs of the patients, that salt-restricted diet should be given to the heart patient, or those who are having hypertension, diabetic diet without sugar, honey, jaggery, etc., should be given to the diabetic patients, etc. So it's a whole healthcare team which is going to help the physician in achieving the results and output of the patient. Then come students in healthcare fields. There are various students who are there in healthcare fields in the form of, say, medical students who are in their first MBBS, second MBBS, or third MBBS when they are having their clinical terms in various wards, say surgical ward, gynec ward, pediatric ward, orthopedic ward, etc. So these students are coming during their term for a particular ward in a surgical, say surgical ward. After finishing their lectures, they are supposed to come in the afternoon or in the morning based on the lecture schedule and their clinical term. They are going to come, they see the patients, they take the history of the patient, they go through the case papers, they attend the rounds of the consultants and learn from them, as well as from the resident physician, etc. They learn what all things are needed for the patient to be done, and that's how these students are getting the first-hand experience of what the patients are having in the form of how to arrive at a provisional diagnosis and final diagnosis, as well as what treatment is to be given to treat the patient, and what preventive aspect one can explain them in the form of counseling for taking care of various diseases that they are suffering, as well as some of the counseling may be needed for the relatives of the patients also, which they may learn firsthand from the psychologists who are there in the rounds as well. Similarly, there are nursing students who are there, who are studying right now, who are going to get the ANM, GNM or BSc degree later. And they also take rounds, they also take the basic care of the patients are being taken by them firsthand, and they are being corrected by the senior nurses who are there. And that's how they learn firsthand on the patients in the hospital itself. So that's how in healthcare field, you really get hands-on experience. It is not just the academic where you are sitting in the classroom and then learning the lessons. That is why it is very important that these courses are being conducted in a teaching hospital where these people are exposed to actual work, and that's how they can become expert in their field later in their life. So with this, we have done what all teaching is being taken care of in the hospital operation. And let us go to the next slide, and that is on medical research. Now let us say what we mean by medical research. Well, as far as the research is concerned, it can be defined as a systematic investigation. What do you mean by systematic investigation? It carries some system, how to arrive at some conclusion. And here you are going to investigate certain things, right? Including research development. So how you are going to develop this research, that also protocol you should follow right from beginning. Testing, what all tests you are going to do. There's a statistical significance attached to the medical research. So you should learn what is statistics, how to arrive at a conclusion that this is a significant results for this medical research that we have done. So what testing we are going to do for this? For this, what are the protocols to be followed? That also you'll have to take into care. And evaluation, how to evaluate this testing, that also you should learn. And then comes, which is designed to develop or contribute to generalizable knowledge in that field. Well, it's a comprehensive definition where if you really want to learn more about this, any research, there are books available only on research, and there are classes taken which can be running for 2-3 months also, or 6 months also. When I did my master's in HR management also, I had got a subject of research which was running for almost 3-4 months. So it's a huge subject, but it is very essential, like in all fields, whenever we are doing research. Research can occur in all the fields, educational field. So in universities, research are going on, and that's how people are getting PhD degrees. In industries, the research is going on. R&D department is there in most of the manufacturing industries, chemical industries, engineering industries, even the infotech industries, artificial intelligence, etc. Everywhere research is going on throughout life, one can say. And there are people who are interested in research. They go on doing that, and they need a lot of funds for that. And in America and all, for research, they are giving a lot of funds to the students. And that's how most of the researches are occurring in foreign countries like America, Germany, UK, etc. Because unfortunately, in India, still, we are not getting sufficient funds to go towards the research. Well, now, as far as the medical research is concerned, what we have defined, it's a systematic process. So one has to be very systematic about research. See, some of the people are only doing certain observations and then say this is a research, which is not the right thing. Let's take one funny example. Once somebody saw a frog, okay, and then that fellow told the frog to jump. The frog jumped with all four legs. Then one leg was cut. then still, when he was ordered to jump, he jumped with three legs. Then one more leg was cut. He tried to jump with two legs. Then one more leg was cut. And then only remaining leg was there. That also he tried to move a little bit in the form of an attempt to jumping. So finally, the fourth leg was also cut. And then he was told to jump. And what was the result? The frog could not jump. So can you evaluate this and tell as a conclusion that after cutting four legs, the frog cannot hear? So this is a kind of research is sometimes going on in this world, which is absurd, which is not systematic, scientific, just observing certain things and then attributing it to something is not the way the research should be done. It has to be a systematic investigation with scientific background, with principles. That's how the research development project has to be done. One has to have a hypothesis which should be scientifically made, built up, and then the hypothesis has to be proved by various tests and one has to evaluate that and design to develop in such a way that it has got a statistical significance. There are chi-square and various other things in statistics you can learn which will tell you that this is a significant, statistically significant test, and then only you can use this medical research in a generalizable knowledge for various things in medical field. So let us understand what all kinds of researches are going on normally in medical research. First of all, why medical research is important, if we want to say, then it has got a lot of value in the society and for the hospital. Now in research, what we are trying to do, suppose some disease is there. We are going to observe what are the risk factors which has led to this disease by taking proper history right from the beginning. So suppose we find, for an example, we find that there are 100 patients of myocardial infarction or heart attack in the ward which are admitted in ICU. And if we go on analyzing what all risk factors are common in all these 100 patients, and then we can do statistical significant test for that, and then we can arrive at something that yes, these factors are attributing to heart attack in these patients. For example, if we see that out of these 100 patients, say 90 patients are smokers, 85 patients are obese, those who are taking alcohol in a large amount, those who are having sedentary life, that means they are not exercising at all, those who are having a lot of tension in their job or at home for some or the other reason, they are very much psychologically disturbed. If we compare all these various factors in these patients as compared to a normal population, those who have not got the heart attack, comparing both the population, say the cases and the control, the control patients also should be having the same kind of age group. And more or less, if we compare each and every factor, then factor wise you can compare that other things are there and only this factor is absent, and then you can compare the results and then come to a conclusion. If we find that it is statistically significant, then we can say that these are the risk factors which are attributable to get a heart attack. And that is how the studies are done in research, and then we are proactively telling people to avoid these risk factors. So that is the importance of doing a medical research or health research as far as the diseases are concerned. Some of the rare diseases like congenital heart problem or some of the congenital problems which are normally not found also have been studied over a period of time all over the world in multiple hospitals, and the data has been collected. From the information, we have come to know that those infants who are born with this particular defect all over the world, suppose we get a figure of say 1000, then we compare what were the factors during pregnancy in these mothers, whether they have taken some drug, whether there was some other risk factor which was there in the environment due to air pollution, or they have taken certain drugs, or they were diabetic or they were having HIV, whatever. If there are some common things and we find that all those having these common factors are prone to get this kind of congenital malformations, then we come to a conclusion, if it is statistically significant, that these are mostly the attributable factors or the risk factors for getting this kind of rare disease also. And that is how we can try to prevent that for future generation. For example, suppose my wife's, for an example, I'm telling you, suppose my wife's first generation, her elder sister is having a child with Down syndrome, which is triple trisomy. When my wife became pregnant or becomes pregnant, it is my duty that I have to check my wife's when she is pregnant regarding whether she is having any of the signs of this by doing a genetic test through chorion villi biopsy within the first 6 weeks to check whether there is a triple trisomy or not, trisomy 21 is there or not. In that case, if I find that there is a trisomy 21, I would like to abort that child. Because finally, Down syndrome is a major problem. There may be the mental problem as well, apart from the physical problems, one can say. And usually the total lifespan is also less for these children. Many of them are dying by the age of 20 or less. Okay, so one has to learn from these things while doing a research and then apply it in your life, which is the importance of doing a medical research. Similarly, one can say that there are some diseases which are treated by various drugs or various modalities like Ayurvedic drugs, homeopathic drugs. It can be some other way of treating which people claim. So unless you do the tests and compare it with a placebo, which is not having that drug molecule, and then see the statistically significant results with these things by doing double blind randomized studies, then only you can attribute that this drug is useful for treating hypertension or diabetes or whatever disease, thyroid hyperthyroidism or whatever. So this is how the drugs are being tested in the pharmaceutical companies where clinical trials are going on in phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 and phase 4 trials, where the number of volunteers are going to vary from say 50 to 100 to 100,000 to more and all that. We may learn a little later in this. So this is how the importance of the medical research is going to help us in various ways and get the insight into this will help us in preventing certain diseases, in treating certain diseases, and getting us to know regarding some epidemics also, like epidemiological research are there. For example, recently we got the epidemics of corona all over the world. And initially we were not knowing anything about corona, how it occurs, from where it comes. And then when we went on learning about the disease by doing a kind of research, by analyzing various things in patients, we ultimately came to know that it is a kind of virus which has started from China. Then it has been penetrating all over the world by international travel and all. So one has to prevent that by stopping the flights coming to your country. So this is how, when we learn about these things and doing analytical research, we are going to help this world by minimizing the infection. Then we want to prevent that by developing vaccines. Then we are trying to develop some of the medicines which are going to act on that virus. So the early diagnosis and prompt treatment by having the right kind of RT-PCR test, RAT test, say rapid antigen test, etc. for that. So similarly, for various diseases, we are having this kind of things. And vaccines are very important researches which has led to eradication of smallpox in this world in 1977, then measles, influenza vaccine. For that also every year, the scientists world over are finding out world over what are the most common four strains of influenza virus which are causing the disease world over. And maybe they may be slightly different from North Hemisphere to South Hemisphere, and accordingly they are developing two vaccines for influenza, which many doctors are advising the people to take this influenza vaccine every year. At least those above 60 years of age should take. Even younger patients can take, which is very important, and it is going to prevent a severe disease, because 80% of the virus strains which are prevalent in that area are being taken care of by vaccination. Now, for COVID vaccination also, we have taken Covishield and Covaxin and all that. Sputnik vaccine is also available from Russia. And that's how we saw that the first epidemic which came was having reasonable number of deaths. Second epidemic also had much more deaths. But the third epidemic of Omicron which came, which was much milder disease, and most of the people became all right. Hardly anybody required hospitalization. And that's how we learned over a period of time by doing analytical research of this, cohort studies, etc. And now we are learning even about this by having a long-term effects of COVID on patients and how to prevent it, how to treat them. For example, chikungunya also, they have got long-term effects. So how best to treat at the earlier stage and prevent this kind of long-term effects whenever possible. We are trying to intervene in that case, and this is how we learn. So here we can see there are various kinds of studies which are there, medical research studies are there, which tell us about the evolution of the disease, how it occurred, then what are the sign symptoms to diagnose them, what are the laboratory tests which is there, like in COVID we developed the laboratory test, PCR test, then when it progresses, what are the complications which can occur, so how to find out if the complications are occurring, what are the markers for that, like CRP we found in case of coronavirus, that CRP and it is worsening, right? So this is how medical research studies are going to help us in treating the disease, in preventing the disease, in preventing the complications of the disease, and in case complication occurs, how to treat that. For example, when we learned in corona, when the patients were having advanced problems of histamine storm and all, we started monitoring them with the help of SpO2, oxygen levels, blood gas analysis and all, and then we found that it is less than, say, 94, we started them, 93 or, and all, we started them giving oxygen, initially 5 liters per minute, then 10 liters per minute, then if that was not helping, bivalve, and finally ventilator, etc. And then we started giving the pronation position to the patients, whereby the lung capacity will increase, more oxygen will be absorbed, and that's how they are going to improve faster. And of course, the drugs also started developing, like, and then of course, we are still learning that some drugs which we developed earlier may not be helping that much at a particular level. So early intervention is required and all. So this is how medical research studies are going to help us. Then there are epidemiological studies. Now, what do you mean by epidemiological studies? What is an epidemic? An epidemic is a condition in which a particular disease occurs in a group of people much more than normally it is occurring. So it is out of proportion that it is occurring. For example, we saw the epidemic of coronavirus. It has come for the first time, in fact, and all over the world, then it started increasing day by day, and we have seen millions of deaths all over the world. So it's an epidemic, and that is being declared by the WHO many times for a new disease. But we are getting epidemic of tuberculosis, we are getting epidemic of malaria. In a particular locality also, we are getting epidemic of cholera and things like that, where they are much more out of proportion cases we are finding. In polio, we say even if we see the one case, it will be an epidemic, because polio has been eradicated with the help of smallpox vaccine in 1977. So there is no particular number attached to an epidemic, but based on the type of disease which is prevalent, one can then define epidemic, and then accordingly, one can do various kinds of epidemiological studies where we are finding out what is the agent, what is the host, what is the environment for this particular disease or for a health-related factor or attributable factor, etc. Epidemiological studies may not be necessarily only for the disease, right? So, attributing factors also we can find out from this. Say, smoking is responsible for attributable factor for cancer, lung cancer more. of course, all over the body one can get cancer due to smoking. But when we are comparing, cohort studies are doing, we are doing the longitudinal studies and cross-sectional studies in epidemiological studies and finding out what is the attributable factors which is significant. For example, if we consider smoking and lung cancer, say 90%, 85 to 90% of cases who have got lung cancer, if they are having smoking as a risk factor, they were smoking. And if only 10 out of 100 or 15 out of 100 people who were non-smokers have got the disease, it means that smoking is a strong risk factor for getting cancer, right? Those who are not smoking and still they have got it may be having exposure due to some other air pollutant or whatever. They may be having passive smoking, tertiary smoking also. It's possible. Then if I say that those who are not smokers, those who are smokers and still they are not getting cancer, if we see, then that studies also have been done. And we found that very few people who are smokers are not getting cancer when you compare it that way. So maybe they are genetically, they have got some enzyme which is metabolizing certain factors which is helping them to prevent getting cancer also. It is possible because every human being is different. But overall, if we see generalizable knowledge, what we are going to use in any research is this. So this is how we do epidemiological studies, not only for disease, but also for attributable factors, for prevention reason also we can use epidemiological studies. For example, if we see the number of cancers occurring near some river are more as compared to the localities which are much far from the river, then what can be the outcome of that research? One can say that one can analyze the river water in that case and find out what are the chemicals which are there, which are not there outside. Maybe some industry is releasing some effluent without treating and that is going in the river, and they have got certain cancerogenic properties due to which these patients have got cancer. So this is how we are going to correlate and then see to it that those industries either are debarred from manufacturing or they have been made compulsorily, they have to make the effluent treatment plant in their own industry to neutralize those chemicals, make them totally harmless and then only release. So it is very important that this is how environmental monitoring, personal monitoring can be done. We can see the workers who are working in that factory. If they are getting more number of such cancers, then it is possible that because they are exposed there, that is why they are getting cancer. So these are the various researches one can do epidemiologically, or one can analyze and then tell. And then accordingly take preventive aspect of it. For example, viscous rayon factories are there in Kalyan. And by the factory medical officer, when he was doing regular medical checkup of the workers of various workshops, it was found by that factory medical officer by observation that for a particular workshop where the carbon disulfide was used, the blood pressure of these workers were going higher and higher and higher. And then finally they developed hypertension and they needed antihypertensive drugs, while the other departments, other workshops, the annual medical checkup, quarterly medical checkup, 6 monthly medical checkup when he was doing, this observation was not there. Their blood pressure was remaining consistently same. So this is how he analyzed the cases and found out that it is carbon disulfide which is responsible for this kind of observation or findings, and that is how he has seen to it that this carbon dioxide is not, these workers are not exposed to carbon disulfide either through nose or through skin or through anywhere, and that's how they have altered the process by making it totally enclosed and computerized, etc. And that's how in petrochemical industry also this is being done to prevent the effect of benzene where people were getting leukemia. So this is how the epidemiological studies, analytical studies, cohort studies, etc. on a long-term basis at times when we are doing, we are finding out the medical research, and using this research we are going to help the future generation to prevent this kind of disease or to detect the disease early by doing 6 monthly medical examination regarding that particular thing by doing biomonitoring if required, that some chemical or metabolite which can be found out in urine or blood, and then accordingly, if they are found slightly on a higher level, then they are allowed not to work in that area, and this is how we can prevent. So we can have this kind of intervention, and the intervention studies again can be done in the research, whereby we are finding out by doing this intervention what is the effect on the patient or on the normal person to prevent the disease when a preventive aspect is taken care of. For example, we have seen interventional cardiology where angioplasty with stent is done or the bypass surgery is done, right? Where what we are doing is, in case we find in angiography there is a blockage which is around 70% or more in one or two vessels, we are interventioning by opening these arteries with the help of angioplasty and then putting stent to prevent that reblockage, and then observing these patients, of course we give some drugs to prevent further damage over a period of years to see to it that they are not developing heart attack and their life is more or less normal. Similarly, those who are having multiple vessel disease like three or more disease or left main vessel disease, coronary artery, and especially those who are diabetic, more so, we are going to do the bypass surgery, where preferably we are going to take the internal memory artery rather than veins, and that's how we saw over a period of time that these patients who were undergone bypass surgery were having better life afterwards and prevention of the heart problem, heart failure, their left ventricular ejection fraction has improved by 10 to 15, and that's how they are living more or less normal life after that. So this is how we are preventing further complications. We are helping the patient to get better quality of life by doing these kinds of various medical research studies and then implementing this in various ways for prevention, early detection, treatment, etc. So let us go for the last one, that is clinical trials, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. Now these clinical trials can be done for drugs, it can be done for health intervention, otherwise also not with the drugs. So in phase 1 what we are doing, we are trying to first identify the problem, that these patients are having this problem, say hypertension or diabetes or some genetic disease or whatever. And then we are trying to isolate these kind of people, say 100 patients are having this, we are going to have 100 controls of a similar age, similar sex, similar kind of occupation, etc. As far as possible, we prevent the co-founding factors which can have got some relevance of getting that disease. We are trying to prevent that so that our sample is more or less identical except the factor which is present here and absent there. So in phase 1 study, we are going to take say 50 to 100 people like this, and then we are going to introduce double blind study as far as the drug is concerned, randomized study. So we are going to say out of these 200 people, we are going to give them random numbers, and then we are going to introduce some antihypertensive drug which will be given to some patients in a randomized number, and a placebo. Placebo means as you please, it is not a drug, it can be just glucose or calcium or whatever. So it doesn't have an antihypertensive drug property. So we are going to give a similar kind of externally almost similar, say a capsule or a tablet to the other people. And then we are going to check their blood pressures regularly, and then we are going to analyze. So even the person who is giving this drug doesn't know to whom he is giving, whether it is the cases or the control. But the third person knows that for these randomized numbers, what we have given is drug, and the remaining people we have not given the drug. And then we are going to compare the blood pressure of these, all of these people, and then finding out whether the cases and controls, whether the effect of the drug is there or not. If the blood pressure has gone down by 10 millimeter or 20 millimeter in the actual patients who are having high BP and then the drug was given, while there was no difference or their BP was slightly higher than earlier, In others where placebo was given, that means it has got a statistical significance and this drug is going to work as an antihypertensive drug. And at the same time, we also see if they have got any side effects because of that also. Any other effects if they are getting also can be studied over a period of time. And once we are successful in this, then we go for the phase 2 trial. That earlier when we have taken only 20 to 100 healthy workers, volunteers, then we are going to, and that study was going on for 1 year. Now we are going to make it for 1 to 2 years. And we are going to take several hundred volunteers for that. In phase 3, we are going to take see this for 2 to 4 years and involve several hundred to several thousand volunteers for this. And phase 4 will be further than that, which will be a longitudinal study for many years and 2 to 10 years. And we are going to see the effect, see the adverse effect, see the reproductive adverse effect, long-term effect, etc. also. And finally, when all these 4 trials we are successful, we can give it to the FDA or the drug regulatory authority of the country, and they are going to double check that, and then finally peer review will be done and they will be sanctioned by the FDA. Then only this drug will come in the market as an antihypertensive drug. So this is how the clinical trials are wonderful ways of scientific researches which are helping us to develop new drugs for diseases, and that's how our medical field is day by day becoming better and better for prevention of the disease, for control of the disease, for cure of the disease, etc. You can see over a period of time, we have seen wonders in medicine in the form of various drugs. Say, initially, there was nothing available for rabies. And when anti-rabies vaccine was found by Alexander Fleming, he has tested himself on it, and then you can see the wonder it has done, because it was practically a 100% fatal disease, anti-rabies vaccine, when it was not there. Those who were bitten by the rabid dog or fox or monkey or some jackal or some other animals who were rabid, and the patient was not able to survive at all. Similarly, tetanus, people were dying of tetanus. So anti-rabies vaccine, injection tetanus toxoid, of course, with the help of immunoglobulins also, if required, we are saving the lives of these patients. Similarly, we have developed various vaccines, say smallpox we have eradicated, polio is in the form of elimination almost in many countries, measles, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, there are various diseases which have been controlled, and the recent example is of COVID vaccine also, right? Even for pneumococcal vaccine we have got, meningococcal vaccine we have got. All these things are helping us in preventing the disease or in making the disease less severe, where they do not require at least hospitalization and ICU and ventilator, etc. facility for them. So this is how we are trying to help whatever we are getting in the medical research finding. We are trying to help the patients, help the community at large, in community level also for prevention and intervention and cure, as well as early diagnosis, so that the cure will be better. So this is how the medical research helps us in various ways. Thank you.